This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, so much to get to on a very busy afternoon, including, of course, the breaking news. Alec Baldwin has been charged with, involuntary manslaughter. Involuntary manslaughter, which carries about 5 years in prison. 855-839-1210. I played these clips earlier, but listen, it's a new hour. It's a new time. Maybe you're leaving work. The roads are terrible out there. Be careful. So much rain and people forget how to drive. Play a couple clips while we're waiting for our guest, John Lott Jr. First of all, we know that all the mistakes happened for Alec Baldwin when he went on television to the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos and lied about never pulling the trigger of the gun. Cut number four.
So then I said to her, now in this scene, I'm going to cock the gun. And I said, do you want to see that? And she said, yes. And I cocked the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never. Never. That was the training that I had. You don't point a gun at me and pull the trigger.
That's interesting.
It's very, very interesting. Here, I want to welcome to the show a great guy, a very smart guy, a guy I've had on before, John Lott Jr. He's a true Second Amendment and freedom advocate. John, thanks for making time for me today in Philadelphia. I really appreciate it.
Enjoy talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You published a piece, I guess, in the wake of this today, how Hollywood uses TV to lie about good guys with guns. Let's talk about it.
All right. Well, I mean, I can make a comment about Alec Baldwin just in general, and that's he violated the most basic rule of gun safety, and that is you don't point a gun at something unless you intend to shoot it. Even if the gun's unloaded, you don't point it directly at others. Baldwin didn't follow that basic gun safety rule when he shot Hutchins. Anyone who has been to a shooting range has had that drilled into them many times. And Baldwin, as an actor who's been in many movies using guns, surely must have had that explained many, many, many times to him. And, you know, claims like he never pulled the trigger of the gun are just simply not credible. You know, it's just absurd statements. I don't think anybody believes that the gun fired without him pulling the trigger. And, I don't see how he could have had anything other than at least involuntary manslaughter being charged against him. And it's possible he could have had reckless endangerment or something like that also had that instead. But, involuntary manslaughter seems like kind of the most basic charge that he could have faced.
All right, let's go through a couple of the facts of the case, John Lott. So, number one, when and I played the clip, and I think you heard it, when Alec Baldwin told George Stephanopoulos, no, I never fired the gun, and the gun went off by itself. Now, that's been reviewed. It's been reviewed by authorities. Even the FBI commented and said that could not happen with that kind of a gun. So, I guess the first question is, you're an expert in this area. I mean, could that happen? Does it happen? Has it ever happened before? Is that what the argument's going to be in court?
Well, it's going to be amazing to see what expert they're going to be able to bring in that's going to be able to back that up. I don't think they're going to be able to find anybody who's credible, who's not willing to kind of have their credibility destroyed on the stand for making that type of claim. You know, it's just, as I was trying to say earlier, it's just not a credible claim. I mean, I guess I can even if it's true that he didn't pull the trigger, which, as I say, I don't believe, but even if that's true, you shouldn't point the gun at somebody,
right.
If you think the gun's unloaded. So he's still responsible, because the only reason why the bullet, you know, it's not like he was pointing it someplace else and the bullet curved or something when it got out of the barrel of the gun and hit her. It's because he pointed at her and violated the first rule of gun safety.
And what about the idea that he didn't know there was an actual live round in the chamber?
It doesn't matter.
I assume it's also...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, go ahead.
It doesn't matter. I mean, anybody who's dealt with guns, anybody who's gone through a gun safety class, anybody who's been an actor, and I've talked to plenty of actors, it's like every time they're going to go and use a gun on a set, you know, they're basically reminded, just for liability rules, what the safety rules are, that they don't point the gun directly at anybody. And obviously, the only reason why she could get shot is he pointed the gun directly at her. Whether he wants to argue that he didn't pull the trigger is irrelevant. Whether he wants to go and argue that he didn't know that it was a live round that was put in there. People have been killed with blanks. You know, a blank, you still have some explosive charge there. You still have some projectile that can come out. You know, it may not hurt you from a long distance or something, but it still can. People have been killed with blanks. And so, you know, it's he can go and argue those other things, but none of that would have mattered if he hadn't been pointing the gun at her.
Right. And John Lott, as president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, you know, you've written a lot over the years about how, yeah, people use guns for self-defense, and primarily that is what guns are used for. Obviously, the media downplays that all the time. But your latest piece also gets into how Hollywood lies about good guys with guns. And the reason why I think this is relevant today, John Lott, as you know, is because Alec Baldwin was one of those guys who was always very anti-Second Amendment. He went out there with a bunch of other Hollywood lefties and tried to start a foundation to go against the National Rifle Association, called it the No Rifle Association. And yet, constantly in movies and television, you see them using firearms. It's like they're obsessed with them. But tell us why Hollywood lies to us about how guns are actually used.
Well, they do it in many different ways. This current TV season, one of the things that they're emphasizing over and over again is supposedly the dangers of citizens carrying legally permitted handguns. I think the reason why this is the cause during this season is we just had this last June, the Supreme Court decision striking down New York's concealed carry law restrictions that were there. And so, you know, it's a well-known fact that the producers and writers on many of these entertainment cop shows work directly with gun control advocates in terms of, you know, putting together scripts. And so, you know, you can look over the last couple decades, and except for Yellowstone, you will not find any successful defensive gun uses of people. And this season has been particularly focused on people carrying concealed handguns. So when, you know, they'll show somebody using a gun, they'll either shoot the wrong person, or the gun's taken away from them, or they get in the way of the police. And that's been shown in spades. You have a number of programs on ABC, NBC, CBS, where permit holders end up shooting the wrong person, or they constantly are preventing the police from doing their job properly. You know, the thing is, we've put together a list of all the active shooting cases in the United States from 2014 to 2021. There are 360 of those. 124 of those, or 34%, were cases where civilians who were legally permitted with a concealed handgun stopped the active shooting attack, saved lives by being there. And there's not one case where they accidentally shot the wrong person. There's not one case where they interfered with what the police were doing and prevented the police from doing their job because they got in the way. And yet that's all you see on entertainment television. Anybody who watches these entertainment cop shows will think that that's the norm, whereas in fact it doesn't happen. Yeah, I'll just give you one other example. Two seasons ago, we went and counted all the criminal uses of guns on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox on these cop shows. And 85% of the guns that were used by criminals in these shows were machine guns. Just to give you an idea, since the late 1930s, there's been one murder in the United States involving a machine gun. You have like Hawaii 5-0, or you have Magnum PI have more murders with machine guns in one episode than you've had in the entire United States since the late 1930s. People, you know, you compare it to like old episodes of SWAT or something like that. You know, the old cop shows never had people using machine guns, but I think and constantly. The media, these shows will refer to these machine guns as AR-15s or other things where they're not. There's some, you know, the AR-15s that people buy are semi-automatic guns. One pull the trigger, one bullet comes out, it reloads itself. One pull the trigger, one bullet comes out. And yet they want to go and push this narrative that somehow these are military weapons. I mean, even the AP finally this last year came out and said, no militaries around the world are using these AR-15s. They may look like military weapons, but they don't function that way. They're not, you know, they even said assault weapons or weapons of war are politically loaded terms that are completely inaccurate. But, I mean, that doesn't stop the politicians, and it doesn't stop the entertainment TV shows from pushing. As I say, the only show it successfully has shown defensive gun uses. There have been two episodes of Yellowstone, one where Tate, the grandchild of John Dutton, successfully shot a rifle to save his mother from being killed, which I'm just amazed. But, I mean, talk about politically incorrect to have a young boy use a gun to save his mother's life. I actually find cases like that. But in the news, but it's usually in small local papers and buried in the back of newspapers. You don't see national stories on it. And then there was another case where John Dutton and Griff went into a restaurant that was being robbed, and they stopped the robbers. But outside of Yellowstone, you will not find any successful defensive gun uses in like the last two decades.
And John Lott, I mean, you are the author of a lot of books about crime and guns, including, you know, More Guns, Less Crime. Why, I mean, you know, this is frustrating for, I think, a lot of us who appreciate the Second Amendment and why the Second Amendment is there. When you hear news reports calling things like, for example, like in Philadelphia, I hear all the time, they say, the gun violence crisis. I mean, I think that's done for a reason, right? You make the gun the problem, not the person who's actually shooting the trigger.
Look, I mean, there's so many points to bring up with regard to what you're just saying. I'll just mention one thing, and that is over 92% of violent crime has nothing to do with guns, okay? You look at surveys. We did a survey a little while ago. The average Democrat thinks 58% of violent crime involves guns. The average Republican thinks it's 38%. You know, the interesting thing to me is that the people who are most inaccurate are the most educated, wealthy people. The average person with a graduate degree thinks that 72% of violent crime involves guns. You know, the people who are most accurate are poor people with the least education, maybe because they actually see violent crime occurring. They just don't rely on the TV and the news shows and the entertainment shows to go and get their information. The average person with a high school diploma or less thinks that 22% of violent crime involves guns. They're much, much closer to being accurate than these guys who are wealthy and highly educated. And you know, it's not too surprising when you look at it. The people who think that violent crime is most closely related to guns are the ones who most strongly support gun control. And that's maybe one reason why, you know, Biden is constantly, when the first year and a half for sure of his administration, all of his talks that he gave talked about gun control as a way of reducing violent crime. But, you know, the way you reduce gun violence is the same way you reduce violent crime in general. You've got to make it risky and costly for criminals to commit crime, any type of crime. But Biden refuses to criticize prosecutors, the district attorney, like you have in Philadelphia there. He refuses to go and criticize people with the bail reform. He refuses to go and criticize liberal judges over the last couple of years that have been releasing half and in some cases even two-thirds of the inmates from jails in urban areas. You know, it's not surprising that you see increases in violent crime when it's become less risky for criminals to go and commit violent crime.
John Lott, always a pleasure, my friend. I appreciate the great work and your continued success. And if you want to follow any of John's works, he's a contributor for The Federalist and, of course, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Let's have you on again soon, my friend. We'll obviously follow this case. I agree with you. I think Alec Baldwin is in a world of trouble, and I'm very glad that you, as an expert in the Second Amendment, were able to explain for us exactly why. Have a great day, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being there.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, it is a busy, busy Thursday afternoon, and so glad to have you with us today. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. We got a big game coming up Saturday night. Obviously, the Eagles and that horrible team from North Jersey, whose name shall not be mentioned on this program, of course. But it's going to be a great game, 8:15 p.m., which means everybody will be drinking for at least, what, 16, 17 hours? I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Nothing. Well, King Philip the Unaccountable. Henry, can you get my trumpets ready?
Give me a second. Henry. Give me a second. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. King Philip the Unaccountable, the governor of New Jersey, was actually asked a question. Who's he going to root for? As governor of New Jersey, is he going to root for the Eagles, which so many South Jersey fans? Or is he going to root for that other team whose name shall not be spoken with all those North Jersey fans? Now, obviously, Phil Murphy hates South Jersey. He hates it. He never comes here. And the only time he ever does is if he's going to kiss the ring of the king in Camden. But otherwise, he just never, you know. So who is he going to root for Saturday night? That's the question. And who, peasants, are you allowed to root for? Because the king has bestowed this royal game on his royal court for your enjoyment. All right? Here we go. Peasants, gather around. His Royal Highness King Philip the Unaccountable will explain which team he's rooting for in this rudimentary game of football. You are all welcome to enjoy the king's pick.
Important follow-up. Careful how you answer this.
Yeah.
Is it Eagles or Giants for you this weekend?
Oh, that's David, I knew you'd go there. I'm staying out of it. Please.
You are kidding me.
What a bold prediction by Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey. What an absolute bold doubling down on his favorite team. Now, we all know, of course, the guy's from Massachusetts, which I'm guessing makes him probably a New England Patriots fan. But come on, man. Pick a side. Am I right? Come on, Matt DeSantis. He should at least pick a side, right?
You knew he wasn't going to select anyone. He can't bifurcate the state.
No.
He's too cowardly.
He annoys people on a daily basis, though. What's the difference now? You know what I mean? Is he worried that the peasants are going to throw tomatoes at him if he gets it wrong at the Meadowlands or whatever?
I mean, would you want to get hit by a tomato?
No.
Of course not.
Where's the game? Is it a home game or a
Yeah, it's wait, home. It'll be in Philly.
Home, right? Because we're better than the team from North Jersey?
Much better.
Now, I know you don't know a damn thing about sports, so I'll ask Henry.
I know
Henry.
Football.
Oh, you do? All right.
Yes.
All right, so who's going to win Saturday night's game?
Eagles.
The Eagles, yeah. I do think the Giants cover, however. I think it'll be a close game. Matt disagrees.
5.5? No way.
Yeah, I think they cover.
I think they win by over a touchdown.
Well, then don't take the cover. Take the over.
What?
Those are different things.
I'm never taking gambling advice from you.
I don't do any commercials for FanDuel anymore.
Yeah. Wonder why.
I do commercials for FanDuel and be like, look, whether you're taking the over or the thing under it or the other thing, you can't lose. Except you can lose, and I need to say that for the record. You definitely can lose.
You will lose if you take that bet.
Never take Rich Zeoli's gambling advice.
Promo code RICH. You can immediately lose $20 of your hard-earned money and get none of it back.
When we started promotion for FanDuel years ago, and I briefly endorsed them until it was taken away from me, and they give you like $100 to play with in your account, and I lost it in like an hour. I did all the stupid parlay bets, you know?
That's what I did this weekend. I also lost. The parlays are where they get you.
Can't relate.
Of course.
You didn't win, did
Listen,
you?
I did. Saying, the house always wins, right?
Yeah. Well, it certainly wasn't me.
House always wins. Speaking of the world of sports, the world of hockey, of course, was outraged that a player did not want to wear a rainbow jersey and run around with a rainbow hockey stick. So despite the fact that the coach had his back and the NHL had his back by saying, look, you know, this player is he's a religious guy. He's got his religious beliefs. He's Russian Orthodox and we respect him. And, you know, leaving it alone, the media did what the media did and they savaged him, even suggesting that he go back to Russia. Oh, yeah, the media went crazy over the idea that how could anybody show tolerance for this man who simply, by the way, was not trying to ban gay people from playing hockey or gay fans from being at the Wells Fargo Center or any center for the matter, by the way. He just wanted his own religious beliefs to be, you know, looked at. Earlier today, Clay Travis tweeted out a cut, and I believe, Matt DeSantis, you have this clip. I think I sent it to you before all my connection problems. take a listen.
And Ivan Provorov can get on a plane any day he wants and go back to a place where he feels more comfortable, take less money, and get on with his life that way. If it's that problematic for him. And he's been in North America for a long time. He played in the Western Hockey League. He's now been in Philadelphia for many years. if this is that much of a problem for him to maybe assimilate into his group of teammates and in the community and here in this country, that's okay. Listen, you can feel any way you want. But the beauty is, if it bothers you that much, there's always a chance to leave, go back where you feel more comfortable. I understand there's a conflict of sorts going on over there. Maybe get involved. So
you see, basically, they're suggesting that he should go back to Russia, which has zero tolerance for anybody, because they have such tolerance for him. And unlike in Russia, where this would never, they would never do pride nights and anything like this, he wasn't saying he wasn't going to play hockey. He just didn't want to wear it himself. He wasn't trying to boycott the league or boycott gay people from playing, like I said. But that's not enough. You see, that's not good enough, because you have to be all in on what the LGBTQ IA ABCDEFG HHKLMNOP, don't want to ever miss a letter of the alphabet, mafia wants. And you know, great job by Minnie on Twitter yesterday. I meant to give her a shout out for this. She reminded me of that scene from Seinfeld where Kramer did not want to wear the button, if you remember, the AIDS button, or the ribbon, the AIDS ribbon. And the two guys who were like, you don't want to wear the ribbon? That was a great scene, by the way.
Who does not want to wear the ribbon?
Exactly. Thank you, Henry. Exactly. Good impression. Well done. Here are some television hosts who are suggesting now the Flyers should fine Provorov. That's how you say his name, right? Provorov?
Yes.
I know Henry's a big Flyers fan, so he knows.
Yeah, love him.
Actually, love the
they're playing well, so I can't even get mad at him right now. But yeah, Ivan Provorov.
And look, I know you hate the owner of the team, but I mean the coach, you got to think, good guy, he backed his player.
Well, right? he's the reason they're winning, and yeah, he's got his players, he's always going to have his players back, so he will jaw with the media. He has no problem doing that.
You see that?
He's done it everywhere he's gone, and he's done it many times this year already.
Exactly what I'm talking about right there. That's good. So these television hosts, this is from Canadian television, shocking, Canada. Canadian television broadcaster Sid Sixiero and Dina Pugliese from Breakfast Television, cut one.
Provorov also spoke to the media after the game and echoed what Tortorella said, so I didn't feel the need to run it. This happened in baseball last year with the Tampa Bay Rays. There were five members of the Tampa Bay Rays who wouldn't wear a patch supporting gay rights. Mm-hmm. And Major League Baseball didn't do much. It was a story for a little bit. John Tortorella, you know... many years ago, when racial injustice, and it still is to this day, but when Colin Kaepernick first started kneeling during national anthem, said anyone who does that on my team is going to sit, and he has a son who's an Army Ranger, so it's not like Tortorella in the past hasn't spoken on sensitive issues. The theme from the National Hockey League is hockey is for everyone. Okay. The theme is not hockey is for everyone, .. unless you don't believe in gay rights, then do whatever you want. If the National Hockey League is going to do this, if any league is going to do this, do it properly or reevaluate what you're doing. Because there's not a lot of repercussions that I'm seeing from any league. Now, it could change with the NHL. I think you fine the Flyers $1 million for this. I'm not kidding. Figure this out. And stop offending people on nights where it's not about that. It's supposed to be about inclusivity. The National Hockey League need to attack this and figure this out. Because what I heard last night was offensive and didn't make any sense. Because, for instance, if that was a military night, okay?
Right.
If anyone in Canada or in the States on a military appreciation night wouldn't wear a jersey pregame, do you have any idea the uproar that would have happened on that? Do you have any idea the backlash? Do you have any idea what happened on social media?
Let's stop it there for 1 second. Let's stop. In other words, what these guys are saying is you can't have an individual opinion. Even if there was backlash at somebody who didn't want to wear a military jersey, so what? What these guys are suggesting is no individual should have the right to think for themselves or have their own religious beliefs or have their own beliefs about anything. I mean, if there was a pacifist on the team who didn't want to wear a military jersey, didn't believe in war, his religion prohibited it. It was like Muhammad Ali and wanted to be a conscientious objector. Might get some hell, but so what? It's his right to not join in. What these idiots are suggesting here is that you should not even have the right. You should be forced to violate your beliefs and go along with it. Now, no, that doesn't mean that Say there was a player who didn't want to wear a military jersey because he was a pacifist, did not believe in war, did not believe in conflict, whatever. But was not also suggesting that the NHL ban the military from watching games or a service member or veteran from playing on the teams. What's the big deal? That's no different than what Provorov was doing, expressing his personal beliefs by not going along with them. Remember, he wasn't skating around with a shirt on that said, kill the gays. He didn't have a hockey stick in the shape of a knife threatening people who were nothing. He just didn't want to bring it into the game. But that's the problem, right? If you think for yourself, if you don't go along with what the script is, to people on the left and people like these Canadian guys, that's the gravest sin you can do. You should not be able to think for yourself. You should not be able to be an individual who voices a conscientious objection. And what did the guy do? All he did was not want to wear a jersey. All he did was not want to hold a hockey stick. So yeah, if there was a guy who on Military Appreciation Night did not want to wear a camouflage jersey and a camouflage hockey stick and got booed, oh well. So what? What these guys are suggesting is the league should fine him $1 million for standing by his beliefs. $1 million. Go ahead, a little more of this, please.
It's ridiculous what would happen.
It was just a minute ago we were talking about the uproar that was happening with FIFA fever, where if you were seen with so much as a rainbow anywhere, you had to fear for your life, imprisonment, or death.
Yeah.
Seriously. So, and now here we are.
I just think the NHL has to do something here. This is not good enough. This is not good enough. Hockey is for everyone, .. unless you don't agree with gay rights, is not the phrasing of this. You're either in this or you're not. And one last point. Nothing scares me more than any human being who says, I'm not doing this because of my religious beliefs. Because when you looked in people's lives, you normally say that publicly, you'd throw up at what you saw. You would throw up at what you saw. And I have seen that 1 million times in a lot of different ways. So don't give me that. With respect. Don't give me that, because no one's perfect. All right? Don't feed me the religious beliefs line. So, and all of a sudden the NHL is going to back off this. The National Hockey League today needs to fine that organization $1 million and reevaluate how they support gay rights. Because that is insulting. That is the number one trending topic in Canada. That is insulting what happened in Philadelphia. And if the NHL is serious about this, they say they are. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how serious they are today. But that whole thing was mishandled, and part of me couldn't believe it. Part of me could, considering how the NHL sometimes handles things.
Yeah. So angry that this guy did not hold a rainbow hockey stick. Fine him $1 million. It's disgusting. Religious beliefs are disgusting. So if a guy was a pacifist and did not believe in war and did not believe in conflict and did not want to take part in Military Appreciation Night, I'm guessing you'd have the exact same reaction if that person said it was my religious beliefs. And I'm guessing that if a player does not want to be part of something because it really does offend his religious beliefs, as long as it's a cause you agree with, you'll probably have his back because you're a hypocrite, an absolute hypocrite. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So Al Gore had an unhinged rant in Davos yesterday saying the oceans are boiling over and rain bombs are falling from the sky. But how much money has Al Gore actually made off of the climate hysteria? Turns out, a lot. And he hasn't donated all of it back to Greenpeace. No, he has not. I'm going to share that with you upon my return. 855-839-1210. And on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. But first, I'd be remiss if I did not tell you our wonderful sponsors and all they do for us. And we are so grateful. And NJ Diet's helping people lose weight and feeling great about their bodies again. Why? Because it is contractually guaranteed that you will lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days time with NJDiet.com. That's right, NJDiet.com. Go there today. There are locations near you, or you can go right online at NJDiet.com, have an online video consultation, and this is contractually guaranteed, as I mentioned, so that means that you will lose the weight and you will keep it off. Why is it different? Well, first of all, it's all natural. No shots, no hormones, no prepackaged foods, none of that nonsense. Also, too, what makes NJDiet.com different is that it is based on your body chemistry, your DNA. They use hair samples, saliva samples, to figure out which supplements work best for you. And since they're not using hormones and they're not using surgery and they're not doing shots and any of the other stuff, it really makes the difference that lasts you probably for the rest of your life. I mean, I know people that have done it years ago and kept the weight off. So you have nothing to lose. Just go there today at njdiet.com. It's a new year. It's time for a new you. You lose weight, you feel better about yourself, you look better, you're healthier, and you're happier too. I really believe that. I think it helps with everything, your mental health, your physical health. It can help with so much. So just do it today. Just go to njdiet.com, njdiet.com, and lose the weight for good.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
There's different reports coming in. One of the true legends in Philadelphia, Jerry Blavitt. Apparently, according to the latest I have here, he's alive. He and his family are asking for your prayers. So please keep him in your prayers. We'll continue to monitor this, but that's the latest I have on this. A couple of people have sent me some notes questioning the status of Jerry Blavitt at this point, but that's what we have as of right now. So please keep him and his family in your prayers, and we'll obviously update you before the show ends today if there's any change in that. All right. Al Gore has made a lot of money, when it comes to the climate scam nonsense. If you remember his unhinged rant from Davos yesterday, which is just worth, it really is, it's worth replaying. We'll do it in just a second. But you know what? I don't want to make Matt DeSantis angry at me. I asked him to get me a clip, and now I'm going to do the movie contest in just a minute. So get your dialing fingers ready, okay? Because Matt will have to screen the calls and also play the clip. This is not an easy job. It's really not. Not an easy job for anyone.
God forbid he multitasks.
Giving that movie prize away is the worst part of my day.
I hate bringing happiness to the callers.
No.
Ugh.
No, it's not that. It's because everyone that wins has this long, complex email address. It's never something simplistic like johnsmith@gmail.com. It's always something like johnqz9573@yahoo.smallbusiness. It's horrible. Sorry, that's my rant. If you are going to call in with the name of the movie, please have a nice, clean, crisp email address. No random numbers or letters. Can that be our new rule?
That is so weak.
No, it can't be a new rule. Whatever your email address is what works, okay?
Well, can you make a new one?
You don't get to tell people what kind of an email address they can have.
Seriously, who are you?
Like the email police?
Yeah, their email addresses are terrible, generally speaking. I don't know what it is.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Thank you, Mrs. Soprano. All right, let me. Do you have the Al Gore cut for me from Davos?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a listen, please.
We're going to bring these emissions down, and just to put the science in a slightly different context, people are familiar with that thin blue line that the astronauts bring back in their pictures from space. That's the part of the atmosphere that has oxygen, the troposphere. And it's only 5 to 7 kilometers thick. That's what we're using as an open sewer. If you could drive a car straight up in the air at interstate highway speeds, you'd get to the top of that blue line in 5 minutes. And all the greenhouse gas pollution would be below you. We're still putting 162 million tons into it every single day. And the accumulated amount is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs, and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarian trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about 1 billion? We would lose our capacity for self-governance on this world. We have to act. So in answer to your question, I would say we have to have a sense of urgency much greater than we have yet had, and we need have had, and we need to make some changes.
All right. So boiling oceans and rain bombs and everything else. So it turns out that Al Gore makes a lot of money. He has made $330 million with his climate alarmism. That's right. When he after he lost to George W. Bush, which actually was the easiest and best thing that ever happened to him, really, because, I mean, he would have wound up becoming president, not making all this money, would have had to wait. The climate hysteria would have waited. He set up a green investment firm now worth $36 billion with a B. $36 billion with a B. It pays him a salary of $2 million a month as he warns about rain bombs and boiling oceans. All right? His wealth of around $300 million is supplemented with speaking fees and real estate. So just remember that. By the way, some breaking news. Singer-songwriter David Crosby of Crosby, Stills & Nash has died at age 81. That just came across the wires as well. So, you know, death's come in threes. So obviously with Jerry Blavis news, we're all a little bit nervous right now, but we'll obviously keep him in our prayers, I should say. I'm being asked to talk about polar bears. Yes, it turns out the polar bears are doing better than ever. Do you remember the Al Gore movie where he had the little polar bear? It was a cartoon on ice, and the polar bear was just kind of floating around on this ice that was, I guess, melting into the ocean or something. I'm melting. And then the whole idea was that the polar bear would drown, and they'd all drown. You remember that whole thing from his movie, An Inconvenient Truth? Well, it turns out that the polar bears, we've never actually had more polar bears in the world than we do at this point right now in this day and age. And polar bears are nasty, nasty creatures. I'm just letting you know that because a lot of people don't realize that polar bears are not cute and cuddly. You don't want to go over to them and be like, oh, hey, little polar bear. Come here, give me a kiss. Please scratch your belly. It doesn't work out well for you if you try to do that, all right? But people don't realize that. I mean, Al Gore's movie predicted that the ice caps, of course, would all melt, the seas would rise, just like that climate nut Paul Ehrlich, and then the climate hysteria would be, you know, 12-foot waves. You could tie your boat to the Washington Monument, which I like the idea of doing that, by the way, personally, because I don't want to drive to D.C. I want to take a boat there. Why not? I don't have a boat, but if I did, I would definitely take a boat there. Or at least I could borrow somebody's boat and go to D.C. and tie it up all day. And then, I mean, traffic on 95 stinks. The Beltway, I went to college there, as you know. The Beltway traffic is awful. So I'm thinking if we all had boats, it would be fine. You know what I mean? Just take a boat to D.C. and you're good. Also, Amtrak stinks. I don't want to go on Amtrak. The Wi-Fi dies all the time. I'll take a jet ski. How about that? I'll take a jet ski to D.C. That would be fun, right? like James Bond, have a backpack with my suit in it. Tie it up at the Capitol, go in for my meetings, change out of my wetsuit. Go in there.
That would be pretty cool.
The population of polar bears is growing even in areas where ice is melting. And a polar bear killed a woman and a little boy in Alaska because I told you they're not warm and cuddly little funny little fuzzy little bears, all right? Speaking of things that are not warm and cuddly, Matt DeSantis, we're going to get ready to do the movie thing, so let's do it right now. Go!
Now, afternoon.
Mystery movie clip, WPHD.
I'm conceiving your new master of race.
If you like, yes. And of course, anyone not measuring up to your standards of physical perfection will be exterminated.
Certainly.
Interesting. Most interesting.
Jaws. Expel them.
Jaws! You obey me! Expel them!
Think you know what it is? Be calling 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, Matt DeSantis, you not cute and cuddly person, you. What will they win?
If you know what film Klaus Schwab was in, and you are the 12th caller, and you have a clean email address with no random numbers or letters.
Not required.
You'll win a pair of tickets to the Philadelphia Auto Show, January 28th through February 5th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Tickets are available now at phillyautoshow.com.
All right, very good. Good luck, caller number 12. And let me just say that because the climate scam is, and actually it's a family business these days, you know, like all good scams, whether or criminal organizations, whether it's the mafia, which does not exist, of course, you never talk about this thing of ours, or any other enterprise out there that's a criminal enterprise. It typically runs in the family. Well, the climate scam also runs in the family. Here's a little clip of Al Gore's daughter. This is Vanessa Carey, John Kerry's daughter, who also says climate change will cause 250,000 deaths. Go ahead.
Time to do that. We have to start that now, because to build that workforce that is going to manage the extra 250,000 deaths that we're going to see from climate change, the growing non-communicable disease, the existing disease that is already there, we already know that that's a win-win time.
You hear that? Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm here. I just couldn't hear the clip. Is it still going?
No, it was a short clip. It was only 14 seconds.
Well, you got to tell me how long it is.
How much Vanessa Carey do we want?
We don't need any Vanessa Carey, actually.
More of a Mariah Carey kind of guy. I know you're not rich, but...
Sorry about that, if for my lack of on-air presence for the moment. I can tell you missed me. Sorry about that. And we're just having all kinds of issues today because of the freaking internet, which stinks.
Almost got a fine from the FCC. That pause was so long.
I know. It was bad. It was almost like when Glenn Beck used to do the show in Philadelphia. He would pause so long back then that they would actually have alarms would go off. Did you know that?
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, alarms would go off. Because Glenn Beck would do those very dramatic pauses all the time. And they were, you know what I mean? And then there is an FCC thing, or I think the station has it, where if there's too long of a pause, the dead air siren goes off.
Yeah.
And it would happen to Beck all the time back then because he was so dramatic.
Yeah, I think it's like 10 seconds or something.
It's 20.
So, is it 20?
Yeah, so how do you just sit there? Like,
wow, Glenn, what are you doing?
My problem is, the one thing I get accused of is not pausing enough.
No, you just
keep
going.
People are like, take a freaking breath already, will you?
Even when we play cuts, you just keep going.
Excellent reference to Klaus Schwab in that cut, by the way. Yes, the other day when we came on the air and I played Klaus Schwab from the WEF, I said he sounds like a freaking Bond villain. And do we have the official Klaus Schwab promo that we have, Matt DeSantis? Do we have that?
What's our Klaus Schwab? Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, give me a second.
To me, Klaus Schwab, the head of the WEF, is definitely a Bond villain, but because he's also such a freaking nerd, he's almost like Dr. Evil, but not nearly as cool and fun as Dr. Evil. Boy, I really hope you've seen Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, or at least the other two movies after that, because they're hysterical. But Dr. Evil's the greatest. And it's, in fact, those movies were so good at parodying the James Bond movies that they actually killed the franchise. And they didn't make another Bond movie after those movies until they rebooted the series with Daniel Craig in Casino Royale back in 2006. And that movie was the most low-tech Bond movie, really, since probably the first one. And because particularly they would always make jokes about how James Bond would always try to kill people, his enemies, by using these very long, elaborate plans, you know, which is where when Dr. Evil talks about sharks with frickin' laser beams. I just want sharks with frickin' laser beams, okay? And every time that Michael Myers would always talk about how he was able to get in a character for Dr. Evil, he'd always say, he'd always start with one word, he'd go, really? So whenever we think of Klaus Schwab, we could always go, Bond villain from that movie which you just heard, or this. Go ahead. He really is just a criminal mastermind, truly.
Exclusive audio from Davos.
Exclusive audio from the WEF. The World Economic Forum. The WEF. That's how I refer to everything. Like the WIP, our sister station, is the WIP. And, of course, the Wuhan Institute of Virology is the WIV. So World Economic Forum, the WEF. All right, listen, 855-839-1210. Do we have a winner yet? Do we have any calls, Ivan?
Matt, this can't is a good answer the phone.
Sorry, I'm doing 9 million things
Forget
at once.
It. You know what?
We have a winner. I just have to screen it real fast. Hold on, give me 1 second. I'll pull up the winner right now.
No, don't pull anything out, Matt.
I'm not pulling anything out.
Can you play for me Alec Baldwin when he auditioned here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD?
Yeah, I got that.
Back in the day, we had a wonderful program director named Grace Blazer, who's now down in Miami. In fact, when I went down to Mar-a-Lago to help, allegedly, Donald Trump with his debate prep, allegedly, I can neither confirm nor deny, but of course, it was in Chris Christie's book that I was there for that, so I'll refer you to that for questions. I'll refer to the White House counsel's office for questions. Grace let me do my show from her studio in Miami, so she's a great friend. But back then, CBS Radio wanted to try out celebrities, thinking that anybody can just do this job. It's easy. You just get on the air and talk. Anybody could do it. Until you realize that actors can read scripts, but this show is improv, baby. It's all improv. It's whatever comes to my head in the moment. I get 97 pages of prep that I don't read. And so whatever I feel like saying, I say it. I'm very impulsive like that, which is why I'm so damn good at this. But Alec Baldwin was not, however. And this is his original audition tape from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD back in the day. Take a listen.
When we come back, we have some time. Oh, great. We're going to... when can we take some calls, Ivan?
Whenever we want.
Do we have calls that are on there now?
No calls yet.
What number do people call to get on the air, Ivan? Do we have that number?
It's right there.
Oh, do I have the call number in front of me? Oh, I'm so sorry. That's interesting. 1210 at PHT. Of course, any other questions you have, any other comments you have, call us to the... what else? Interesting. Do we have any calls yet there, Ivan? No calls. Let's read some more about Scientology. Do we have any calls here yet, Ivan? None. Boy, it's just incredible. You leave us no choice, listeners.
Now, he actually went a step further and started reading items from the local Chinese restaurant. He read the menu on the air to torture the audience to calling him. And then whatever calls he got were people going, "Your show sucks." Obviously, that pent-up aggression really caught up with him all those years later. All right, 855-839-1210. Big 6 o'clock hour for you. Straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.